It's after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It is Top Text Tuesday today. I got a $15 gift certificate up for grabs for Cable's Pub and Grill. Best text of the day gets us going here. And listen, I always say this. I stole this from Jim Rohn. We can make this show amazing. Every day we do it. It's no big deal, Angel. It's easy. But when we get solid hooligans texting in, great stuff to get us. I mean, that just adds to it. That can make this thing, that can take us to new heights. So I want to bring it today. We got the Avs and the Kraken in the playoffs. We got game one tonight, 8 o'clock. Susan and Cheryl, man, they're pumped today. It must be playoffs throughout the Mile High City. We got the Nuggets back at it tomorrow night. The Avs getting into game one, which is our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. How's this series going to go? Avs in 4, 5, 6, 7? Or Kraken in 4, 5, 6, or 7? So we'll look at that today. Again, go vote at thewholeshow.com, and let's see how you're feeling about the Colorado Avalanche. Can they defend the cup? And it begins, the quest begins tonight for the Avs. So we'll talk about that. I got Kyle Fredrickson coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We have Coach Steve Smiley of the UNC Bears going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. Waiting on a couple of confirmations with other interviews. Our guy Zach Stevens and Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. So it's a very busy show. Going to be a lot of fun today. But I want you to vote. You know, where you think this series is ultimately going to go. And it looks like the majority of the hooligans are saying Avs in 5. We got 33% saying Avs in 5, 16% Avs in 7, Kraken. Oh, we got an 11% with Kraken in 6. Huh. Some Avs in 6. All right, so go vote at thewholeshow.com. Let's see where it goes. Since it is Top Text Tuesday, let's start with the text. Flying Dutchman's picking up right where he left off yesterday. He threw a fireball at us yesterday as we're wrapping up the show, because I can get pretty passionate about the Michael Jordan, LeBron James argument. So he chimes in here. Again, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Very interesting to hear. The Straight Out of Vegas NBA podcast this morning, they were discussing the greatness of Kawhi Leonard. Okay, how long was that conversation? The greatness of Kawhi, are we putting Kawhi up in the greatness? Okay. And as a part of the argument, noted he has 2 championships with 2 different teams. How many did Michael win without Scottie and Phil? So now we're comparing Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan, Flying Dutchman. So it's okay as a metric for Kawhi, but not the King LeBron. First off, Kawhi won a championship with the Spurs. I don't know if you know this, but the Spurs, they kind of got used to winning championships without Kawhi Leonard. I want to say they only won the one with Kawhi. The Tim Duncan Popovich era had 5 championships. So, okay, Kawhi was obviously good and, yeah, great for the Spurs, but let's not go over the moon here and say, wow, without Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs' legacy is not intact. They won championships without Kawhi. So let's just, and then he won it with Toronto in that one-off crazy year. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, great, great ball player. Yeah, no question. I think he also was the one who instituted the resting of players, the off days, or the player management. I think that's, you can also credit Kawhi Leonard for that. So if we're talking about all his 2 championships, we also have to talk about he's the guy that really put a stamp on load management in the NBA, which is always a fun topic. Flying Dutchman says, 4 championships, 3 different teams, 3 different coaches, plus a slew of finals with the awful Cavs, who just made the playoffs this year for the first time without him. Mic drop. So your case here is that LeBron James is greater than Michael Jordan. You're wrong. LeBron James isn't even greater than Kobe. And so you're basically going the opposite of what a lot of people do. And, oh, well, he went to a lot of places and won championships. He went to Miami. Dwayne Wade won a championship without LeBron. He won it with Shaq. So he goes to Miami, and Chris Bosh joins Miami, and they win a title. They should have won a title. Nobody was doing the, other than Boston, nobody was doing the big three quite as much as we're seeing now, the big three, the big two, whatever. He goes to Miami, and they win two titles. They also lost two chances at a title. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks, by the way. And then he goes to back to Cleveland because, oh, Cleveland's good again. Kyrie Irving's there. He's a stud. You go win, he wins a title there. Did he win two titles with Cleveland? Just one. And then he got the one with the Lakers. And the bubble doesn't count. The players have already said the bubble doesn't count. And I'm even willing to acknowledge the Nuggets coming back from 3-1 there's an asterisk there. Same with the championship for the Lakers. I'm not denying LeBron James is one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But he's not better than Michael. There's just no way. Listen, we can argue it, sure, but to think that's what we're going today. But I love it, Flying Dutchman. Bring that stuff. But that's, I mean, I think that in his situation, that hurts his legacy. The fact that LeBron jumped to Miami and two stars came in. Then he jumped back to Cleveland when, oh, they're good again with Kyrie. Oh, and then he goes to L.A. They're terrible the first year he's there, right? And then they get Anthony Davis. And then, okay, they're starting to put it together. They won in the bubble. Which, again, players will even say, yeah, that was unlike anything. You know, we were on a resort. We didn't have to travel. There was no traveling in between playoff series. No fans. Some would argue that the no fans thing hurt. Some would argue that it was really easy. Dixon says, Flying Dutchman sounding like Draymond stomped on his dome. Did you catch that play last night? I thought the Warriors were going to come back and win that game against Sacramento, but dude, hand it to the Kings. De'Aaron Fox, this team, man, they go really hard. And that was a pretty significant play. What was that like? I want to say like five, six minutes left in the game. That you have the situation with Draymond Green and Sabonis. Did he grab his foot? Sabonis goes down hard. Draymond Green, see, look what you got me doing, Flying Dutchman. Draymond Green's going to run back down the floor, and it does appear that Sabonis is grabbing his ankle. He's grabbing Draymond's ankle. It's very slight, because then he kind of lets go of it. Draymond is animated, very animated the way he did this. Stomps on Sabonis' chest, and then very animated again as he leaves, so it's very obvious what happened. Now, they called the tech on Sabonis because Curry shot a free throw. Did they call the flagrant foul on Draymond, and they ejected him. Both players, of course, had to go get x-rays at the end of the game. Sabonis announced that he's getting an x-ray, and then Draymond Green said, oh yeah, I gotta go get my foot x-rayed. For that, that was a crazy play, and I'm sorry, but because of the way Draymond Green plays, and we just kind of know who he is, not a lot of refs are going to give you the benefit of the doubt first. They went back and looked it over. Listen, Sabonis grabbed his ankle. He did. If Green wouldn't have stomped him, that would have been still just a technical foul. But you can't stomp a guy's chest to the ground. You can't grab a guy's ankle either. Klay Thompson, I tend to agree. I know you're a little different on this than me, Angel. You can't grab a guy when he's trying to run. That could have been dangerous. But then Draymond Green doubled down and was more dangerous when he stomped on the guy. You know, pulled a Ndamukong Suh type situation there. Did they get the call right? They called the tech on Sabonis. And then obviously ejected Draymond Green. That was a significant play. Now, Sabonis missed both free throws in that sequence, but the Kings get the ball back and then they score. Did they get it right on the court?
Yeah, I think they did. And I've watched this clip a bunch of times, just trying to understand both perspectives of it. You know, Sabonis said he was trying to protect his head.
But I'm going to use it with...
Well, because he's falling after the missed shot, and there's four or five guys just standing around him. Your natural instinct is to put your arms over your head so you don't get stepped on, or, you know, somebody falls on top of you and you hit your head on the court.
Yeah.
And Draymond's foot is just in the way.
Kind of tangled in there. That's what Dixon just said.
It was an automatic reaction, and he put his arms down very quickly.
Yeah, he didn't.
He didn't hold it. While he was trying to get away. He put his arms down. Oh, your foot's here. Took his arms off. Draymond was free at that point, and then just brings his foot down on his, you know, midsection.
I get if you feel like your ankle's being grabbed, you're pulled.
Your natural
back,
reaction is to pull your leg up.
Pull your leg up and escape.
Right.
But he
pulled your
leg
up and then brought it right back down.
Right. So that, listen,
this is a guy that punched his own teammate in the face.
You're not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I understand that. That's fair. He should have just pulled his foot out and continued to run.
Or even if you're losing your balance, because, you know, you're on one foot, just roll. Mm-hmm. Drop down to the ground and just roll away and get up and go.
Yeah, it was. I think they got the call right. I do. It, you know, even if it was inadvertent by Sabonis, you're still grabbing a guy's. Whether you meant to or not, you're still grabbing his ankle, which could have resulted in a trip. So a tech makes sense to me.
It's inadvertent, and Draymond should not have reacted.
So you agree
that
they? Do you agree with the tech on Sabonis?
Yes, on the foul on the shot. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they called Sabonis for a technical foul.
Yeah.
On Draymond Green.
I mean, that's what it was. You prevented him from being able to move his foot.
Right.
That's a technical foul.
And if your guy is running,
the reaction to the technical foul is what brings the flagrant.
Yeah. I watched this over and over again. And again, if you watch it in slow motion, it looks more like Sabonis was grabbing it. But if you watch it in real time, it is kind of like
it's a very quick
pulling
movement.
His arms up. Both of his inside of his elbows are surrounding Draymond's ankle, and it kind of looks like he's closing in on it. Then it seems like he realized he had an ankle in there,
because he pulled his arms up. Basically on the ground, his head's looking at the court, and his instinct is, "I got to protect myself."
Yeah,
it's a very quick reaction, but it's instinctual. Like your body protects itself.
I don't have an issue. I think they got the call right. I think the call was 100% right. Draymond, you stomp somebody in retaliation. Yeah, that's not even a basketball foul. That's a bad. Yeah, I always look at this. Is it a basketball foul? Is it a foul in the heat of a basketball play? Or did you do something that's not even bad? Stomping on a guy's chest? It's not really basketball. So I'm actually good with this. I've kind of gone back and forth with it. But I think they got the call right on the court. And that was significant because Draymond Green missed the rest of the game. And how much of an impact did that make? This is the first time, Angel, in the Steph Curry era that the Warriors have found themselves down 0-2. How about that? And Curry was good, but this is always what I say about Steph Curry. He's an Hall of Famer, great player, no question. Don't want to take that away at 28 points.
Is he better than LeBron?
No. No. I'll give you that, Flying Dutchman. But Curry's going to shoot it at an astronomical clip. He's going to fire shots. Is he a great three-point shooter? Yes. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to shooting the three-pointer. Correct?
Yep.
But he was 3 of 13. I've seen a lot of games like that from him.
He shoots a lot of, you know, he takes a lot of shots.
He takes a lot of bad shots, too.
Yeah.
Last night
and
he did.
The greatness of Steph Curry comes when he shoots those ridiculous shots and they still somehow go in.
Yes.
And you're watching a game thinking, God, this guy can't miss.
There was, in that game last night, with the last 2-3 minutes, I mean, he was just trying to put the team on his back. And so he is quickly going off the screen, behind the back, step back, and he's shooting ill-advised threes. For most players, like if KCP shot any of those threes last night, we'd be losing our brains today. If Michael Porter Jr. shot any of those threes, we'd be losing our brains.
Well, for Steph, he only needs to make one of those for him to get his confidence back.
Yeah, and he made, you know, and then Klay hit one. They were going back and forth. Klay was 5 of 10. I mean, they're going to hit. They're going to take 3-point shots. I was just, as I'm watching this game, though, I'm going, how exhausting is it to play Golden State?
Incredibly exhausting.
In Sacramento, every time I thought Golden State was going to get over the top, they just keep grinding. They were getting through screens at the top of the key. I mean, they made it pretty tough. All those threes that Klay made were all contested shots. But what I love about Sacramento, they get the rebound, and it is freaking go time. Good luck, everybody else. De'Aaron Fox, dude, he had 24 points. I mean, again, his three-point clip wasn't great, 2 of 10. He was good. Sabonis was great. He struggled the night before, the game before, but he ended up with 24. So this Kings team, I mean, now the series goes to Golden State, the next two. You win one there, and this thing's over. Sacramento, the most underrated three seed that I can recall, is getting a lot of play. So much so, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, because I think it's fascinating. What do you think of the beam?
It's entirely gimmicky.
Oh, it is so gimmicky. Light the beam!
And, you know, sports teams will do these types of things that give them something iconic, something that's uniquely theirs. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think what the Kings have done with the beam, it's given that fan base something to rally behind.
Oh, no question,
because you hear it in this
man.
Series, it's the first time they've been to the playoffs in, you know, almost a decade. First time they get a playoff win. They're actually a pretty good team. And so you needed something other than just, oh yeah, the Kings are back. The Kings are here. It's all right, let's have a little fun with this. Let's get the social media thing involved with it. Now it's meme after meme of purple lasers everywhere.
Every time they lose, it's, you know,
yeah,
if they
and it
lose
gives
at
the
home,
fan, the opposing fans,
the opposing
something
team,
to jeer you.
Like Milwaukee created their own little digital beam, and they're like, "We're going to light the beam." And so the players were actually really concerned about this season, because this is new. This was just this season.
Mm-hmm.
They just put it in, and they announced it back in September, and the players are like, "Okay." Like De'Aaron Fox is like, "Yeah, but if we lose, we're going to be made fun of every night." Don't lose, I guess. I like it.
When you win, it's so much fun. Just like the beam.
Yeah, you go bam. Like Sabonis, the guy that's interviewing him at the end of the game, he's like, "Well, you know what's next, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, we got to go to Golden State now." And he goes, "No, I was talking about lighting the beam." He's like, "Oh, yeah." And he looks over, and I think Fox or somebody was already slamming down on that thing. And he's like, "Oh, okay, he's got the beam." But I think that's – I don't like gimmicky stuff within the game. But I like that at the end, man. That is a cool thing. They had to get this approved by the airlines, the airports around. I mean, they had to get this all approved.
It's like a legit bat signal.
Yeah.
It's like a big purple laser that shoots out of their stadium.
Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good. We're here. The Avs have battled through what I really think was a phenomenal season, but had to be an extremely tiring season. But here we are, game one tonight, the Colorado Avalanche hosting the Seattle Kraken. And the Kraken didn't take long to get things going, did they, man? I mean, this is going to be a battle. Kyle Fredrickson will be on with us to help preview this game just a bit. So I'm excited about this. And how about Alexander Georgiev? He has been everything the Avs needed in a goaltender this year, and probably a little bit more. So you got some confidence. Our poll question of the day, thanks to Tight Knit Brewing. How's this one going to go? Avs going in 5, 4, 5, 6, or 7, or the other way around? The bad for me is, yeah, the whole Sabonis Green thing. Ultimately, it's the stomp that we'll talk about the most. And, yeah, that's because it was the most dangerous and it was the most intentional type foul. Sabonis, you can certainly make that case that the ankle was caught in the tangles. And that's just kind of what happened. But the reaction was awful, was worse than what Sabonis did inadvertently. The ugly. Pittsburgh scored 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points against the Rockies. Kyle Freeland, what do you go, 2 innings? Yikes. That old Rockies bus, Andre, you might want to just You lift up the hood and leave her on the side of the road for a little bit.
What Rockies?
Yeah, it's gone, isn't it? It's already gone.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about either. 25 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. Zach Stevens will join us at the bottom of the hour as well. So we'll talk, I guess we'll talk golf carts and Russ. Golf carts and Russ coming up now. We'll talk some draft. What are the Broncos going to be doing in the draft? We'll talk to Zach coming up very, very soon. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA Zone Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They got over 40 specialists providing care across six medical campuses. Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. As specialists in the medicine of motion, they truly have you covered from head to toe and are ready to get you moving like you used to. That's orthohealth.com, orthohealth.com. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. How is this series going to go for the Colorado Avalanche and the Seattle Kraken? Go vote at theholeshow.com. And this, listen, I mean, we were looking at some of the position breakdowns yesterday and where the Kraken, I think, are going to be better than the Avs is probably their depth at forward. And that, you know, again, in a playoff series, that can prove to be a difficult thing to overcome. But I'm really excited to see how Georgiev does tonight. That, to me, is the story because last year coming in, totally different situation. I mean, your goaltending situation was kind of average, and you thought, man, we just got to play lights-out defense and help out our goalie as much as possible. And still, the Avs possess the ability to do that, but Georgiev is you've upgraded in a big way. So we'll be excited to talk to Kyle about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. 32 minutes after the hour, Zach Stevens talking all things Broncos. What do we know? I mean, they have been working in the shadows. Is there anything of note to discuss with the one and only Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos? First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. With us now on our First Advantage Hotline is Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And Zach, for the number one thing here is, how's Russ's golf game? How's his golf cart driving ability? All that. Those are the important questions that we need to get to.
Yeah, those are. And Brady, we kind of got a wrap on Bunkergate this morning with Russ kind of having fun with it. And
yeah,
you know what? I'm happy that Russ tweeted about it.
Me
because,
too.
You know, this could have been, this was trying to be blown up by some people. And this was just, you know, an honest, simple mistake. A lot of people, you know, can make some mistakes on the golf course. But when you're Russell Wilson, these are big ones. And so I'm happy that he was able to have some fun with it. You know, he actually wasn't even the one driving, from my understanding.
No, you know, again, I was thinking about this. I was like, this would totally be something that would happen to me. I could easily see myself doing this. But you're right. He tweeted this out a few hours ago. I'm glad he's having fun with it. You said it. He's kind of joking about it. That's the way to do it, man. I mean, yeah, something like this happens, and if you can get out in front of it and kind of make fun of yourself, it makes it 10 times easier. So good on Russ.
Yeah, exactly. Good on Russ. And Russ has had to do this a couple of times in the past year. Of course, Let's Ride, he started it as a very serious thing, kind of a hype to get Broncos fans going. And then the video leaked of him doing it three times in a row, and then everyone started making fun of him for it. And then he actually had some fun with it. So he knows that how to handle these situations. But honestly, Brady, I'm just happy that Russ is staying out of the limelight by his choice. Obviously, this one wasn't his choice, but instead of going on social media all off season, posting where he's traveling all the time, showing that he's working hard, he's really changed his tune this off season, and that's what Broncos country needed. That's what the NFL needed. That's what Russell Wilson needed to do, was just take a step back.
Do you think that Russ has truly kind of been humbled, that he can take last season and really, he clearly works hard. I mean, I don't think anybody's doubting that, certainly after hearing him and everything. But do you think that he's been truly humbled, where he can direct his focus in the areas that really need his focus the most?
Yeah, I really do think so, and I think we're going to see that this season. Instead of Russ dictating how things are going inside the building with football, without football, just everything around the Denver Broncos, I really do think he is going to take a backseat to Sean Payton. And let's make no mistake about it, Sean Payton's making it very clear that Russ is going to have to do that. Last year, it was pretty clear, pretty much right away, even with Nathaniel Hackett's words, that Russell Wilson was in charge. Now, that's not the craziest thing if you have a quarterback that comes out and plays like that. You know, Peyton Manning was in charge of the teams he played for. Tom Brady was in charge, especially at the end of his career when he left Bill Belichick. But when you're a quarterback and you don't play well, then you can't be in charge. The head coach has to be in charge. And Sean Payton has made it very clear that the Broncos are going to do things Sean Payton's way on the football field, off the football field. And Russell Wilson is going to be the quarterback of the Broncos and nothing more.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. We've got NFL draft. It's sneaking up on us, Zach. Again, it's maybe not as attractive for us, for Broncos fans, because, well, the Broncos don't have, at least right now, a first-round or a second-round pick. But there still might be some moves here before the draft. You shared this, or you tweeted this out yesterday, I believe, about Buda Baker wanting a trade, wanting to get out of Arizona. Well, obviously stud safety there, obviously connected with Vance Joseph. Do you see potential there? I mean, can the Broncos afford any kind of big move outside of trading guys like Jerry Jeudy or things like that? Do you see them still getting active and trying to get a stud like Buda Baker?
Yeah, it's all going to come down to price with Buda Baker, and I'm not talking contract. Buda Baker is going to be very expensive. He wants a new deal, so you're probably going to have to pay him a lot of money. So when I talk about price, I'm talking about what are you going to have to give up to get him. And I think it's going to be a more reasonable trade than people expect if the Cardinals are willing to trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals try to hang on for dear life. I mean, the Cardinals have lost everything this year within the past year. They're going to lose DeAndre Hopkins as well. Buda Baker is the heart and soul of not just the team, but the organization, the fan base. So I wouldn't be surprised if Buda sticks around on Arizona throughout the draft, even though he wants to be out. I just think the Cardinals are really going to hold on to him. But if he is available, Brady, It's a match made in heaven. And the reason is Buda Baker is a heck of a football player, but he also complements Justin Simmons so well. Buda Baker is strong safety. He can play at the line of scrimmage. He's dominant in the run game. He can play linebacker. He can also play safety. Justin Simmons, where he's best, is just being a free safety, kind of floating back, just trying to track down balls, lead the league in interceptions, as he's done a couple of times in his career. Those two would complement each other so well. Buda Baker is a four consecutive Pro Bowler. He's been an All-Pro three times on top of that. So you would instantly have the best secondary in the NFL, and you would have three All-Pros out of four starters in your secondary with Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons, Buda Baker. And on top of that, Buda Baker has played his best under Vance Joseph. The past 4 years with Vance Joseph, he's been a Pro Bowler every single year. So it would make just so much sense from so many different areas. And you know what? The cost in terms of paying him $20 million a year, $17 million a year, when you have Sean Payton, he has proven that he doesn't care how much someone's going to cost. He's going to manipulate the salary cap. It might hurt the team in the long run, but for the short term, when Sean Payton's here, he's going to make those things work. And so, yeah, the Broncos could make something work with Buda in terms of price. It's just going to be how much is it going to cost, and will the Cardinals move on from him?
Well, and it's interesting if the Cardinals would actually move on from him, you know, if you're trying to rebuild, you're probably looking at younger guys and everything. Well, obviously Jerry Jeudy's name continues to come up. That's really the name, isn't it, Zach? The one we talk about that has the real value, but also maybe a guy that you're not necessarily married to, you know, amongst the fan base and everything. You know the talent he could possess, but still young and there's still value. So obviously, if the Cardinals were really willing to move on, wouldn't it take a Jerry Jeudy and maybe another player or a late pick or something?
Potentially. And, you know, Jerry Jeudy, crazy enough, despite not having any Pro Bowls or any 1,000-yard seasons compared to Buda Baker being a three-time All-Pro and five-time Pro Bowler, Jerry Jeudy might actually have more value on the trade market because he's still on a reasonable contract, a rookie contract, doesn't have to get paid a big contract for a couple of years, and hasn't demanded a trade. Buda Baker, on the other hand, has hurt his trade value in terms of the Cardinals' eyes by demanding a trade, by making it public, and he also has made it clear that he wants to be the highest-paid safety in the NFL. So typically, when those two things happen, when a player wants a new contract and they've made it public that they want to be traded, that hurts their trade value a lot. So the Broncos actually could probably get Buda maybe for a third-round pick this year, maybe a third-round pick and a player that's not as valuable as Jerry Jeudy, potentially. So the Broncos, but one thing to keep an eye on is Jerry Jeudy. I think you nailed it when you said the Broncos know Jerry Jeudy has value. Jerry Jeudy has potential. He has upside, but they're not married to him. Now, Sean Payton tried to make it clear just a couple of weeks ago that they were not going to trade Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton. That was the right thing to do in terms of keeping his trade value as high as possible. Things were going to pick up right around the draft again, so we're kind of getting closer to that. I don't think the Broncos are going to give Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton away, but I do think, despite what Sean Payton said publicly, I think for the right price, those guys would be able to be traded for by another team. So those are the two names to still keep your eye on, despite Sean Payton trying to publicly shut it down.
Well, the Broncos have certainly been active in filling the holes necessary to try to be competitive next season. But with the draft coming up, Zach, I know you're really starting to dial in on this conversation, but where do you think the Broncos are really going to put their attention here? Any word as far as what a board might look like, what position group they're really targeting in the draft?
Yeah, the trenches, Brady. And with this draft, it's a little unique. The Broncos could go out and get a day one starter, specifically at center, maybe even the defensive line. But the Broncos, with this one, they don't have that much pressure on themselves to go get instant impact players with this draft. And that's just why I think they're going to continue to do what they've done. They're going to pick up where they left off in free agency and do that with the draft, specifically center, offensive line. The Broncos don't have a backup tackle behind Mike McGlinchey and Garrett Bowles. A reason for that is they may be trying to get their future left tackle as a swing tackle for this year, but a developmental guy, potentially in that one of their third-round picks or their fourth-round pick. And then they could also use another starter, at least defensive line depth there. So the Broncos right now only have five picks, and I would expect them to be really focused on the interior of the football field. And then also running back. The Broncos need to do something else along with Samaje Perine. They could sign a veteran, but they're waiting for the draft to see if the right running back falls to them. So those are the positions that I really keep an eye on. And something else that's really interesting, Brady, like I said, the Broncos have five picks in this draft. In George Payton's tenure as assistant general manager with the Vikings and then with the Broncos as their general manager over the past 10 seasons, he's averaged over 10 picks per draft, which is just an incredible number. George Payton values quantity over quality, where Sean Payton is almost the exact opposite. He values quality over quantity. So when you're talking about, are the Broncos going to try to trade back a lot in order to accumulate picks? That would be the George Payton route. The Sean Payton route is just value quality over quantity. his time with the Saints, he only averaged 6 draft picks per year. That's quite a difference. That's almost double the number of picks that George Payton likes to have in a draft compared to what Sean Payton likes to have. So that philosophy, that balancing between the two is going to be fascinating.
Oh, it's something we've kind of talked about off and on ever since the Broncos made the trade to get Sean Payton, is how would that balance work out if Sean Payton has a philosophy or an idea of going this way and Sean Payton wants to go the other way. How do they work that out? And you're right, that's what's going to be kind of must-see television or whatever.
Yeah, it really will be. And you know what? For this year, because the Broncos only have 5 picks, I don't expect there to be a lot of drama. Although one of the things that Sean Payton likes to do isn't just trade current draft assets for that specific draft. He has not been afraid in the past to trade future draft picks. So if there's a guy that the Broncos really like at the end of the first round or beginning of the second round, wouldn't blow my socks off if they made a move by trading next year's first-round pick. Now, I don't think they're going to do that, especially because the Broncos don't have a second-round pick next year. But it's going to be just so interesting seeing that dynamic happen. And one of the things that we're really going to see that differing in opinion is this coming draft.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Just a CSU connection here, Zach. The Broncos talked to DaQuan Jackson. I think our Rams listeners certainly want to know what potentially might come from that.
Yeah, and the Broncos obviously have had a lot of success, specifically with some linebackers from CSU. Obviously a different type of player than Shaq Barrett. But the Broncos are doing their homework on the guys in-state, and we'll see. I don't know if he's going to be drafted or if he's going to be an undrafted free agent, but it would make a lot of sense to bring a very, very productive linebacker in. Obviously, all of your listeners know just how good he is and productive he was at CSU, and that could be an under-the-radar pickup for the Broncos at the end of the draft or as an undrafted guy.
Well, just an overall question for the rest of the draft, Zach. We were talking about Bryce Young yesterday. Is it sounding more and more like he's going to go to Carolina? He's not doing as many interviews right now at this point.
Not just that. The Carolina Panthers general manager spoke today at their pre-draft meeting. And boy, he didn't necessarily say we're drafting Bryce Young, but everything he said pointed to it being Bryce Young. And that makes a lot of sense. That was kind of the idea when they traded up to get the number one overall pick, that it was going to be Bryce Young. Bryce Young outside of physical of height and weight, which can be very important to some people. He clearly is the best quarterback in this draft in terms of his ability to see the field, his arm strength, his accuracy. To me, those things are a lot more important than just height and weight of a guy. So I understand that there's a lot of hype around Anthony Richardson, specifically Will Levis as well, and then obviously C.J. Stroud is a very good prospect as well. But it really does seem like it's going to be Bryce Young as the number one overall pick. And interestingly enough, the Panthers general manager was with Seattle when they drafted Russell Wilson. Mm. And during his press conference today, he compared Bryce Young to Russell Wilson many times.
Isn't that crazy that now when we hear someone compared to Russell Wilson, we take a step back because we're like, well, Russell Wilson. But before last season, Russell Wilson was still very, very much thought of as one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's just where Broncos fans, if they want to be optimistic, you say, boy, it was just one bad season, and now they're getting one of the best offensive minds in the history of the NFL to help Russell Wilson out. There's certainly plenty of reason to be optimistic and think that Russ is going to bounce back, but all Broncos fans know when Russell Wilson's been wearing a Broncos jersey is outside of the last 2 games of the season, it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Zach, my man, what are you working on that we can check out? I know it's been interesting to cover this team at least the last week or so, but you're still churning out great stuff, my friend.
I really appreciate it, Brady. Later this week, we will be talking to George Payton and Sean Payton for the first time in quite a long time with their pre-draft press conference. It's my understanding it's going to be a short press conference, but at least we're going to be talking to them. Maybe they'll give us some insight, but as John Elway always said at the beginning of these things, he says, well, I'm going to tell you guys nothing. Let's get it going.
Well, I look forward to it either way, my friend. Zach, appreciate you, my man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. 51 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll wrap up this hour. Coming up in the lunch hour, we got the lunch rush, obviously. And then UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley will join us. We'll also talk about the latest in Boulder. Primetime had a press conference yesterday. Some interesting things coming out of that. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. So your old, your Rockies bus right now on gel is just parked on the side of the road. You guys are just going to take a little break from that for a while. Maybe they'll impound it or something, or somebody will come, tow truck will come out and get it.
I don't think it's worth that effort.
You just leave it out there. Just let it become.
Let it become a nature exhibit or something.
Are you done? Is it over?
I'm done. Like
it's embarrassing.
Like, I forgot,
man.
They were playing last night, and I said, "Oh, let me go just see what the score is before I put the effort in to turn the TV on and watch this."
Mm-hmm.
It was 13-1, I think.
Yeah,
and it was in that moment I was just, "Yeah, I can't do this."
I mean, it's gonna. Here's what's gonna have to happen. I mean, is Dick Monfort gonna sell the team? I think you're gonna have to have such an embarrassing season that it almost forces his hand. I don't know. I mean,
it's going to start with Bud Black.
Yeah.
Be the first one to go.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We're not going to see any real change until you stop going to Coors Field.
That's the big thing.
And that sucks because they bring in teams like the Yankees and the Astros and all their fans show up and it's, "Oh, look at Coors. It's beautiful. Everyone's here." No.
You're right. It's going to take a massive boycott for anything to change. We were talking about this a bit yesterday. For the Rockies, every year it's like, Dick Monfort always said, we can be a 500 team. What, you got to strip it all down and just flat out commit to the rebuild. And that means you don't go sign a guy like Chris Bryant. You just go all young and try to grow through your farm system. And the Rockies just have never really committed to that. And again, it just, here we are, 5-12. Still early, though. Lunch Rush coming up next.